But God is so good and gracious. So if you got your Bible, let's go to our main scripture of Ephesians chapter 5. We'll start out with part 2. Title of our message is, or this series is, Time, Our Most Precious Commodity. Time, our most precious commodity. Now I'll go over a little bit what I said yesterday and then get into part 2. As I said yesterday, I travel quite extensively all over the world preaching the gospel. Usually anywhere from 3 to 4 or 5 times a week, I'm preaching the gospel somewhere, somehow. But I'm thanking God that I'm starting to use some of my technology. And instead of running all over the world, I started doing some of these live chats. I never done that before in my life, you know. People can see you and all that kind of stuff. And that was really wonderful. Jam the lines up, shut down the service, and all these people calling in from everywhere. You get to talk to them. And it was just truly a blessing. I thought, you know, I can use this and I won't have to go over there. But I've learned something, that it's like a rock star. I don't care how good your album is, you got a tour. You got a tour, you know, you just got to go out and do some touring and stuff like that nature. But I've seen so many different things, and I have so many ministers ask me, what's going on out there, or what's God saying to you? But the most prevalent question is, what's going on out there? And by traveling in so many different denominational, non-denominational, interdenominational churches, convention centers, football stadiums, you know, all kinds of different things, you really see the what people are doing as well as what's happening in life. And Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, and I want to start reading again in Ephesians chapter 5. We'll start reading with, let's read with verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now verse 16 is what I want to deal with. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now that was wrote 2,000 years ago, so how much more evil they are today? And we really think about that, yet there's a great, great falling away. People are almost, they laugh at God, make fun of God. Atheism has become very prevalent. I think Europe's about 60%, 70% atheism, and yet Christianity out of Europe came to America. It's amazing. And I always tell people there are no unbelievers after death. You get a revelation. And some people say, I don't believe that. We'll shoot the dice. I wouldn't gamble with eternity, because that's a long time. See, I had one person tell me, well, supposing God doesn't exist. I said, well, he said, then you've wasted your life. I said, no, I lived a good life. I lived a high moral life. I was a blessing to my family, to my friends. I was a blessing to God's work. And if I just die and that's it, I lived a good life. I said, but if there is a God, you're in trouble. So shoot the dice. And I don't believe in gambling with eternity, or much less gambling with anything. Because if you understand anything about gambling, especially at any place, you can tell who's winning. If you go to Las Vegas, you can tell who's winning. Caesars is winning. You understand? The Wynn Hotel, they're winning. Look, you don't build multi-billion-dollar hotels, multi-billion-dollar hotels, and pay them off in 2 years with the slot machines. Why? Because grandma's doing this. So, and I realize that I don't gamble with nothing, because gaming or gambling is a chance. I prefer a sure thing. And the Word of God. Let me just say this. You can trust the Bible. You can trust the Bible. Now, yesterday I started out with the pricelessness of time. I told you to write down that great opportunity must be prepared for, not simply waited for. And I told you, so many people waiting for an opportunity to come, and when it comes, they don't know what to do with it. I've heard people say, boy, Lord, if you gave me $1 million. And I've seen some people get $1 million and lose it, because they never prepared for it. They were just excited that they got it. Like those people that win the lotteries. It's amazing. If you do a study on all the people who won the lotteries, about 95% of them are in jail and broke. And went through all kinds of money. You see, they waited for that opportunity, kept buying that lottery ticket, whatever. And then all of a sudden when it came, they didn't prepare for it, so they didn't know what to do with it. I told you that opportunity does not come loudly, but it often comes suddenly and stealthily, taking you unawares. Because you've got to remember, when something has, you hear the old statement, strike when the iron's hot. Well, that's a true statement, because you see, they may not come back real quick, or they may never come back at all. So you must be ready in all that you set yourself to do. I told you yesterday the real difference between people is not in their chances, but in their ability to recognize their chances. You might check your notes on that when you were writing those down. The real difference between people is not in their chances, but in their ability to recognize their chances. You see, the opportunities and opportunity come by, and it's not really by chance in a sense. Now, what do you do with that? And I've told you that my wife says he's always got A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. I have all kind of plans. Because I realize that sometimes people, they really mean well to do something, but then it doesn't work out that way. So you got to go to phase two. Like if you only got one plan and you have a major emergency, you're in trouble. That's why on an airplane, and I have my own airplane, that we have a lot of what we call backup systems. If something fails, we go to another system. If that fails, we go to another system. Now, I have a Falcon, which was three jet engines. In other words, if one fails, we still okay. We still flying. If another fails, we still flying. The third one fails, we start praying real hard. Because I've learned something about that. Where you going? Down. We're going down. Ain't no other choice. Gravity will make you come down. And but there's a lot of what I call fail-safe things that they have on an aircraft. It's amazing how many things, if something goes wrong, they flip another switch. Do something, we go to another backup battery. We go to another generator. We go to another different things. You must do that as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, see, there are a lot of failures out there. But a failure is not someone that falls in the mud. It's the one that lives in the mud. I think Jerry uses this scripture all the time. Micah 7, when I fall, I shall arise. I love that when I hear Jerry preach on that. And people think they fail because they fail. No, they fail because they stayed down. You see what I'm saying? So that's what I mean. The real difference between people is not in their chances, but in their ability to recognize their chances. Then I told you and closed out with this. Opportunities of time lead to solemn issues of eternity. Opportunities of time lead to solemn issues of eternity. Because what I'm doing today is directing and guiding my life or what when I go to the next life. Because it's the foundation of what I'm going to do. See, I love science and I study science. Kathy can't get over how much I know about space. I love space. I love Star Trek, The Final Frontier. And they say Alaska is the final frontier. No, no, no. One time I went outside my house and I was just looking up there and God gave me a project that just unbelievable, totally impossible. That's why it's God, because that's what you were saying yesterday. And he says, you know, he said, I never forget. I just looked up in the sky and I said, Lord, are there other people out there? Are there other people? He said, well, I'm here. He said, do I create dead planets? No, you don't create nothing. You couldn't even go to funerals. You mess them up. You raise people from the dead, even though you paid for the funeral. Tried to get the money back on the flowers, but it didn't work. He said, then what created deadness? What comes to kill? You see, this revolution that Satan did was more than just this planet. There are a lot of things out there. So I constantly study that stuff. I enjoy it and I incorporate it in my life and in my study of the Word of God. Now, when I approach the Bible, I approach it all the time like this. What have I missed? You ought to write that down. And sometimes I think I know a scripture completely, fully. I think I got it all. You know, I said, I can't squeeze another piece of anything out this verse. And then I look and say, but what have I missed? And all of a sudden a revelation will come. What have I missed? Because this Bible, that's why you can trust it, is so packed with what you want to know scientifically as well as spiritually or naturally or morally. That's amazing to me. So when I read a scripture, I go, what have I missed in this? And sometimes I've squeezed scriptures out. I mean, I thought you get blood out of a turnip. I thought there ain't nothing left. And all of a sudden, a totally, completely different direction. You see, it pops up and, oh, Lord, yes. So I understand that. So I realized it and I began to find things in the scripture that the universe was dramatically altered during this revolution between when Satan caused this fight. You see what I'm saying? It was altered. So you got to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. It's so vast that it's beyond the human mind to contain. We have so many stars. We have more stars than we have grains of sand on the planet Earth. Now think about that. Let that sink for a second. Next time you go to the beach, that's just one beach. Think of every bit of dust, every bit of sand. We have more
stars in the universe than we have grains of sand on the earth. Now, do you think we're the only people out here? Do you think God did all that deadness out there just to have one planet? Now, this is his favorite one. He calls it his footstool, the apple of his eye. So what are you going to do when eternity starts? That's what I said. Opportunities of time lead to solemn issues of eternity. Now I want to get into part two. First, I dealt with the priceless of time. Now I want to deal with the waste of time. I don't like the word waste. I hate it with a passion because there is a lost. But the disciples thought when Jesus fed the 5,000 was waste, he called it fragments. 12 baskets of prosperity were sitting out there, but because somebody couldn't see it other than Jesus. Pick up the fragments that we have no, what's the word he used? Loss, if you read the King James. Think, now to everybody else, that's waste. Yet, now, it in the waste business of America is major money. I talked to a guy not too long ago. He owns maybe 100 garbage trucks. I said, boy, I don't see how you can stand behind one of them garbage trucks. He said, I smell all the way to the bank. Yeah. Let me tell you something. You find something that nobody else wants to do and you do it, you're going to get rich. Yeah. That's why they call filthy rich. That's where you get that said, filthy rich. And you know, let me just make this announcement. I'm almost filthy. Glory to God. Almost filthy, Lord Jesus. I just got to go stand behind some more garbage trucks, I guess. I never thought of it in that sense. And he doesn't waste time, this man. Because he did something nobody else wants to do. So let's deal with that this morning. Write this down. The waste of time is a criminal thing. Write that down. The waste of time is a criminal thing. It will always involve irreparable loss. I refuse to waste time in my ministry or in my private life or a social life. In other words, when I have a friend come over to my house, like when Jerry and Carolyn come over, we're doing something. In fact, we're waiting on a championship game. Yeah, me and Jerry, I have a pool table in my house, and actually up in my fun room, what they call. And Jerry had to leave it suddenly. Him and Carolyn had to leave. Something happened, and we were about ready to play the championship game. You know, I won one, he lost one, I lost one. You know, so he's got to come back, and we got to go to a restaurant. So we got to fulfill those destinies to let Jerry know how good I really am playing pool. No, I think he's better than I am. I saw that. Praise the Lord. It was a blessing. It's a criminal thing when you miss an opportunity to let your light shine. Think about that for a minute. Because somebody may be needing some light. And you have to be very conscious of what's around you at all times, especially if you're a Christian, and totally special if you're a minister of the gospel. Because I want to tell you something. If you mess up, somebody going to see it. Remember that old sermon I preached called a fit, a carnality? Have you had one today? Because, boy, when you blow it, everybody in town seems to know it. So the waste of time is a criminal thing. It will involve irreparable loss. I refuse to waste time. I'm usually always early. I don't like being late. If we have wheels up at the plane at 10 o'clock, usually I'm at that airport. I'm ready to walk on that plane at 9:30. And they tell me, but Jesse, you're going to be early. I said, have you checked the headwinds? Well, you know how it is. Most of the time when you check them, they're wrong. Especially when we fly to Hawaii. We're going to preach the gospel. You're crossing that ocean. I mean, you know, and they check it. They got all it. This is what it is out there. Then you get out there and it's 50 knots stronger or whatever. And every person that owns a plane loves tailwinds. Because now you're saving money because it's pushing you. And you get to Hawaii a little closer and a little quicker. Faster. You see what I'm saying? And to me, Hawaii is a workplace for me. I gotta go there without just preaching my guts out. I just do it all the time. And that's what Kathy says. I got the revelation, but you just don't seem to get it. And that's true. I mean, I'm very hard. I struggle with relaxation. My dad's going to be 89 years old come this October. He said, you need to slow down. I said, Dad, you never taught me that. You taught me, what you taking the day off for, boy? Are you crazy? And, you know, and when it gets into you, that's not an easy thing to break. So what I'm saying here, the waste of time is a criminal thing. It will always involve irreparable loss. Jesus said, redeem the time because the days are evil. Now write this down. The need of doing is pressing because the time of doing is short. The need of doing is pressing because the time of doing is short. I've had some people say, Brother Jesse, the Lord told me to give you something, but what are you waiting? Why are you telling me? Just put it in a plate. I mean, how many ministers know that? You know, the Lord told me to do this, but when? And I don't mean, I'm not trying to get it because I didn't ask you for it. That's not the issue. But see, you don't realize if you're a minister that the things that God wants us to do, why are projects delayed? Because people have not obeyed, including the ministry at times. Just think about it. If everybody sent me a dollar that's on my mailing list, oh, Jesus, it's amazing what I could do. I could go to every country in the world, preach this gospel, and leave offerings by the basketfuls. I don't mean that pridefully, because there's so much in the Bible said, be ye therefore a doer of the word, not a hearer, only deceiving yourself. There's so many things. God's always got a project for me. Always. I had a lady call me from Australia. She said, Brother Jesse, I said, how you doing? Yeah. She said, listen, I want the message that I got saved, that I heard you preach. I said, well, what is that? She said, well, you preached it in 1978. 1978, that's when I started. Yeah, I heard and I got born again. I want my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren to hear the sermon that got me born again. Now watch this. I had no concept of any of this. I thought, do we have that? Well, we have something called the archives. I call it the vault. And we went in and found that message. But when we went to put it on this high-tech equipment, it started breaking up. We stopped. And then I thought of I Love Lucy, Johnny Carson, Hollywood movies are trying to restore these films because they're on celluloid and breaking up. Now we have the technology to preserve something for life. And the Lord said, Project Legacy. Project Legacy. And when I heard, I said, let me hear myself preach it 34 years ago. Man, I talk fast. I still talk fast, but I'm not really talking fast. And I thought, listen to this. And I enjoyed myself. And also now I began to revert back. And you see, if the Lord wouldn't have given someone some invention to preserve these things, think if we lost everything Brother and Sister Copeland ever said. That would be a tragedy. Like Jerry's got those reel-to-reel tapes. But one day, if you put that around a socket, see, that's a magnetic tape. You put that around a socket, it's going to suck his voice off the tape. Magnet, is because electricity is going to pull it. But now they got the technology, they stop all that. So that would be irreparable loss, wouldn't it? It would be a criminal thing not to hear Six Steps to Excellence of Ministry by Kenneth Copeland. The Laws of Prosperity. Before he wrote the book, when he was preaching it, think about that. So the Lord said, see, that was a project that I never even considered. So we have that going on in our ministry right now. A project. And I thought, my Lord, I would have never thought of that in 100 years. But someone did. You see what I'm saying? So the need of doing is pressing because the time of doing is short. So I keep thinking last night, people that walked forward gave their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, well, we started time right there. Did you know time started for people last night? He got born again right there. Everything from that point was washed away. Now you think about that. See, you just thought this. Well, they just came up and gave their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. No. You got to understand. There were some people in that line that was probably in their 50s. All right. Wipe it off. Gone. Doesn't exist. They are now 50-year-old babies. They're starting now. They started. They're not even 24 hours old. And if you happen to bring up something they did yesterday morning, the Lord said, what? Because it's been erased. completely. God is the only person in the world that can erase everything. Technology today, you think you erase something, you living in a dream world. They can find it. But when God erases it, he erases not only from a natural man, he erases it from his own mind. You know, the Lord didn't know I used to be a drunk till just now. Now, I'm not going to get into the details, but he has no concept of that at all. Zero. Think about that. So there's so much pressing going on. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, so I don't believe in wasting time. It's the same thing when you go to a mall. Why do you waste so much time looking? You're not going to look, you're going to buy. No, you don't understand. We want to see everything. You look at, women look at clothes that they don't even wear. They look at sizes that they can't get their leg in. I don't mean that to be rude, but that's okay. I don't care. I go to a mall, don't take me long. Boom, I walk in there. Now when I go to the mall with Jerry, I feel like I'm with Kathy. I got to follow Jerry. I mean, but Jerry just short, boy. He got to, it's amazing. And it's amazing how we have a lot of the same taste. I mean, sometimes we'll zero in on a sport coat or a suit. Boom. You know what I'm saying? Now Jerry, he gonna shop. He gonna shop, son. Sometimes I want to go sit down on the bench and just wait for Jerry. Got a bench out there, Jerry. But he finds it. And that's great. I like that. See, the need of doing is pressing on Jerry because the time of doing is short. Which brings me to my next point. Grasp life's prizes or you will end up in frustration and contempt. See, when you're wasting time, you're missing the prizes of life. Oh, there's no prize. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There are prizes. There are trophies to be had. Let me say it again. Grasp life's prizes or you will end up in frustration and contempt. I've seen so many people. I can't seem to get ahead of life. You know why? You never went for the prize. You never went for it. You thought it was too complicated or too hard. That's a failure. If you run the race, the time factor has nothing to do with it. Remember Oprah Winfrey wanted to run a marathon? But a marathon, I used to jog a lot until I blew my knee out jogging, of all places, in Hawaii, through ego. I was 39 years old, and I won in my classification, that big Hawaii thing they do, and I was running up Diamond Head. And when you run up, we're not used to mountains in Louisiana. And we don't have mountains, but we've got mosquitoes as big as eagles. You understand what I'm saying? We got mosquitoes, son. My grandbaby calls it posquitos. Them posquitos are bad. I'm running, and a 72-year-old man passed me up. I'm 39. He said, come on, young man, you can make it. I said, I'm going to kill that sucker. I like to kill myself. Now, he won in his class, 72. Actually, it was 70 to 75. And I won in mine, 39 to 44. I'll never forget that. I thought I was going to die. I said, Jesus. He said, you're on your own, son. Quit following the 72-year-old man. And when we turned around, that's what I didn't know. When we turned around, I didn't know how to run down a mountain. I knew how to run up one. Now gravity's pushing you. And within 30 seconds, all my wind was back. I thought, this is wonderful. But I'm slamming now. Bam! I should have been heel-toeing. But I was putting that pressure on that knee. Then I had to pray for God to heal that thing and fix it and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, it took some, ooh, Lord, some, I mean, that knee swole up three times the size. But you know, when you're running, after a while, you got that adrenaline running so hard, you don't feel that pain. You don't realize that you hurt. Joe Namath, literally, I mean, some of his best football play was when he was hurt. But in those days, you didn't have what we have today. Until he finally went to the New York Jets, and the guy looked at his knee and said, we got to fix this. When? Tomorrow. And if you know the story, you'll find out they're taking pictures of him in the hospital. And he's in terrific pain because they fixed his knee. They want to put on a jersey so we can take it. People don't care, see, if money's involved in something. But they had made up their mind, we got to win. So that was the pressing of doing, see. Let me say it again. I want you to write that down so you can get that. The pressing, the need of doing is pressing because the time of doing is short. Write this down. Your destiny is not firm. Your free will has been given to you to make choices. Now, destiny happens one day at a time. Remember that song? One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's true. Let me say it again. Your destiny is not firm. Your free will has been given to you to make choices. Destiny happens one day at a time. That's what I mean. So I'm always out. I say, I got to complete my destiny and reach my destination. Why? Because I refuse to waste time. Some of you have been having a dream, but you keep dreaming. You just keep dreaming. You don't start doing. Write this down. This will help you. Wandering around in daydreams never lets you believe what it takes so you can change what it takes to start doing what it takes. Let me say it again. Wandering around in daydreams never lets you believe what it takes so you can change what it takes to start doing what it takes. Now, I like daydreaming, but my God, you're going to have to put some action behind it. You're going to have to put some action behind it. See, when I sow a seed, what is financial? I put some action behind it. I put God in remembrance of his word. I said, you know, I was persecuted yesterday for your sake. So where's my 100-fold? Now, some of y'all missed that. Excuse me, Jesus. Excuse me. Jesus, come here. I was persecuted for your sake. Did you see those helicopters flying over my house? Did you see me on the news? I was persecuted. They were saying things that were totally wrong, that were not true about me. Where my 100-fold? Think about that for a minute. Bible said 36 and 100-fold with persecution. Well, I've had the persecution. How come I don't have the 100-fold? So now when I get the 100-fold, I don't care how much you persecute. Persecute all you want. You see my point? It's a waste of time. I said, Lord, where's my 100-fold? And little did I realize it was in my fragments and didn't even know it. Because I thought it didn't mean much. Then I turned around, good, look at that. And God blessed it. So you grasp life's prizes or you will end up in frustration and contempt. I've seen so many people frustrated. I tried that and it didn't work. I tried it and it did work. Here she comes again. Just let her run by. There you go, sweetheart. Hallelujah. Boy, that ponytail is just a flipping, isn't it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, when it hits you, you just got to go. You know what I'm saying? You grasp that. She grasps something. I don't know what it is, but whatever she's drinking, I want some of that. You grasp life's prizes. When I decided to marry Kathy, I was not interested in marrying Kathy. I liked her a lot. She was fun to be with, blah, blah. You know, I liked the date. She was real. But I was afraid of marriage. What do you mean? Why was I afraid of marriage? Because I seen some unhappy marriages. But I thought, and I got to thinking, why am I judging something that may never happen? So one time I went up to her, I was engaged. I said, listen, we got to back this thing down. I didn't want to tell her I was afraid. Cause you know, I'm a man. She said, it's either now or never, sucker. It's now or never. And I said, now I got to make, if I want this prize, I'm going to do something. So I said, forget what I said. She said, I already did. I don't know why things are always funny with me. We were married at Holy Rosary Catholic Church. Walked in that church, in nomine Patri et Filii, Spiritus Sancti. He said, do you take this woman? I said, that's what I've been trying to do for several years. Yes. Yes. You ain't got to say nothing else. You got my attention right there. That priest was a funny man. I was such a sinner. He caught me drinking the holy wine. Well, he had sit me in the back. This is a true story. Sit me in the back, you know. Well, I got to come out, and I saw the wine. You know, this is what they do to communion. I said, I've been wanting to taste that all my life. Only the priest can drink the wine. So I crack one of them bottles open. He goes, no, that's blessed. I said, it's your ear. That's a true story. I should not have done that. Are you sure you're going to raise your children Catholic? Give me a case of that wine, we'll do it. Yeah, that's sad, isn't it? That's sad. But when he said, by the power vested in me by God Almighty in the state of Louisiana, I now pronounce you man and wife. Now, in those days, you couldn't kiss you. No, they do it now. You don't kiss your wife in the church. Not Louisiana. No, man. I mean, they're not too holy. You're on the altar here. Remember that, Kathy? So we just turned around, walked out, and I was thinking, boy, I'm getting these lips ready, son. I'm going to double lock this woman's home in a second. And when we walked out that door, that's all I'm going to say about that. Which brings me to the next point. Only the power of the gospel can save the world from moral ruin. You can't legislate morality. Only the power of the gospel can save the world from moral ruin. Think about that. Why do you believe this gospel? How could you stop drinking and sinning so bad? Because only the gospel could change me. You see, I learned to sin very well. I became an expert at sinning. Why? I had uncles that showed me how. Teachers that showed me how. Because if you were a boy, your daddy would say, now boy, especially, I don't want you doing this stuff. And he'd smile. Watch them girls. And just that little look. Now, if he had a daughter, son, he'd watch her. He going to kill somebody if you touch his daughter. But his son, how many men know what I'm talking about? Boy, I don't want you mess. You know, am I right? I don't catch you with that. She's pretty, ain't she? It set something in me that only the gospel could change. I started drinking sociably at 6 years old. They thought it was funny. Actually, I was five. To leave a half a can of beer and see how, let a child drink it. So my uncles would leave a half a can of beer. And of course, a five-year-old, you know, he's thirsty. But I'd go. And I got drunk. My first drunk. I was hanging off the back of a boat, drunk as a skunk. Mama beat me sober. Because my uncles thought that was funny. I could have died. I could have drowned. I drank that half a can of beer. And to a five-year-old boy, I mean, that's like drinking a fifth of whiskey. I mean, you just knocked it. I went, whoo, whoo. Mama hit me. I said, okay. She believed not in spanking. I never heard that word in my life. She believed in whoopings. How many of y'all used to have whoopings? You know what that means? You could hear the switch coming. Whoop, 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 whoop. That's a whooping. You remember that? Your mother ever told you, Mike, go out there and cut me a switch. I come back with a flower. And I ain't stupid. A whooping. Not a spanking. Spanking. Nah, a whooping. Isn't that crazy? When I first, I was very rebellious. I'll never forget one time a teacher said, I teach you school. Put your hand out there. She got the ruler. I said, do I got stupid wrote on my face? I ain't sticking my hand out there. You living in a dream world? I was seven. Don't you talk to me like that. I said, I'll talk to you anyway, blank and blank I want. I started cussing. That's something else they taught me. My grandfather thought it was funny for a child to cuss. He thought that was just hilarious. He said, say this. Now go tell your mama. True story. I'm not kidding you. I said, Mama, you are. Bam, she knocked me, and I just rolled. Don't you call. I said, Grandpa said to do it, Mama. Oh, there'd be fights. He thought that was so funny. But it wasn't funny. See, it was driving me. It was teaching me to sin. Now, they told me to quit cussing at 12. But when you have a habit of cussing, you can't stop cussing until you get born again. Kathy said, I learned a new language when I got saved. Am I right? Because every other word was a cuss word. I got born again, and the power of the gospel stopped that moral ruin in my life. It was not religion. Listen, I was religious. We went to church. We had to go to church. It's just part of it. It's your obligation. We went. I took communion. I did all that stuff. I done everything you're supposed to do. It didn't make any sense to me. Because to me, it was just institutional thinking. And I figured I had a way out. Just go into the confessional booth, tell the truth. And most of the time I didn't. I lied like a dog. So I could get out with 3 Hail Marys and 3 Our Fathers. Because I was wanting the priest to give me absolution. But he would say it in Latin, which sounded right. Absolvo. I walk out, I say, I'm clean for about 20 minutes, man. Because, see, they never taught me how to stop sinning. Now, that's a waste of time. But when I got born again, I didn't waste time no more. I was looking to learn. See, I said this a couple of Sundays ago when I was preaching at our home church. We're the only species created by God that learns. Did you know that? Animals don't learn. They have instinct. They rely on their instinct. A little baby tiger, you go to touch it. Now, where did they learn that from? They didn't learn that. That's instinct. Now, they may learn hunting places, but it's actually done through instinct. You were created in the image of God to learn. And the Bible said to learn well. You see. So when I got born again, I got this insatiable thirst to learn about God. And you know what? Everything I learned about was never spoken of in church. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. I preached this just the other day. They taught me the life of Christ. They didn't teach me anything about the Spirit of Christ. You need to know about the Spirit of Christ. And then you'll understand the life of Christ. And I understand that, you know, he healed a blind man and he raised Lazarus from the dead. And all this, you know, all these examples are great. But why? You see. But when I got born again, now watch this. In a bathroom in Boston, Massachusetts, that power of the gospel did not waste any time in cleaning out my immorality. The Lord didn't say, well, I'm going to let you be saved for a year before I deliver you. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching good. No, I let the purity of the gospel go as far as my pollution of sin. You hear people talking about delivery. I need deliverance. Well, you need deliverance for? You got born again. Excuse me. Well, I'm trying to be set free. Wait, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Well, I know it said that, but, aha, genetically altered Christianity. But, wait a minute, did you get born again, or did you have an emotional response to something? Now, your body's going to fight you because, see, you've created it to do things. So that's all it knows to do. I didn't know how to do anything else but sin. Did you know I had to learn to praise God? And I had been to church many times. I didn't like the way people praise God as a Protestant because they loud. I thought that religion is a private matter. How many people know what I'm talking about? You know, hey. Now, Kathy got born again before I did. And Kathy was always been a very quiet person until she got saved. She embarrassed me so bad. I mean, she'd go into church and she'd start hollering. Oh! I said, control yourself, woman. What you doing? We're in church here. Yeah. We're in church here. She went up for prayer and fell on the floor. I come out the pew. Get up. And people look at me and go, what are you laying on the floor? One time she took off running and dove into the altar,
Dove. I walked out the church. I can't believe this. But see, she was free. I still had chains. That's why I couldn't dive. I was still latched to the wall of religion. She wanted me to speak in tongues. Now, Buzz, that's something. I want you to pray and speak in tongues. How? You see, I was still latched to that religious wall. I didn't realize that you don't speak in tongues. You don't speak in any language if you quit talking. So they say, we want you to pray, oh Lord Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Now quit talking in English and pray in tongues. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you. I quit talking. No, say something. What? No, don't say what? That's English. I don't know no other language. One guy told me one time, I tell you how you fake them out. Say this. Someone stole my Honda. I said, what'd you say? He said, say it fast. Someone stole my Honda. Someone stole my Honda. Someone stole my Honda. Sound like tongue. Say it fast. Someone stole my Honda. And people say, he got it. He got it. I thought, he got it. Oh. That was a waste of time. People didn't teach me to receive the Holy Ghost. They told me to speak in tongues. Let me say that again. People told me to speak in tongues. They didn't teach me to receive the Holy Ghost. It was a waste of time. Actually, it angered me. I got frustrated. I said, let's go to a church that don't believe in tongues. That's one less thing we got to worry about. I walked in the church, y'all believe in tongues? No, this is where we got to go. I can get into doctrinal things. I'll leave that to you, you know, whatever. Waste of time. I had a waste of time quite a bit after I was born again. Because I got into the routine. Go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Now, this is Protestant. Wednesday night. If the rapture would have taken place on Wednesday night, no one would have knew about it till Sunday morning. Ain't nobody there on Wednesday night. How big is your church? 2,000. How many you have on Wednesday night? 22. Most of those work for the church. We always went to church. Because I knew I was missing something, but I didn't know what I was missing. And they should have been redeeming the time. But thank God for a great pastor I had, my first one. He said, I'm going to teach you to receive the Holy Ghost. You're going to receive it. I said, that's that tongue stuff, huh? I said, listen, man, I tried that. I made Kathy mad, made everybody mad. I got mad myself. I don't know how to do that. He said, we got a preacher coming. And I'll mention his name. He's in heaven now. His name is Brother Wallace Key. You heard me talk about this man. Now, Brother Wallace was not a very pretty man. In fact, there were... He's a gracious man. It's called a blind date. He had a habit of scratching. And he looked like this all the time. Right, got it? And he would scratch. And he had that real, I tell you one thing, the Lord. And he was cross-eyed. I'm telling you, you couldn't tell if he looking at you. You had to do this or this. And if you cross your eyes, I don't know about you, I see double. So he said, we're going to have a Holy Ghost night. And I thought, and I saw Brother Rafer. This is the pastor. Oh. I'm going to go up there. I'm going to use my, someone stole my Honda. I'm going to get out of there fast. Huh? I ain't going through this mess no more. I done had it. I was frustrated. They were calling this a prize. I was calling this work, man. This is not working. This is not for me. And Kathy said, go up there and you're going to get it this time, Jesse. Why don't you go for me? No. So Christine, her sister, says, I'll go with you. I said, okay. And that man walked down. He had it lined up. There was about maybe, what, 8, 10 of us. So I'm about number 3, you know. Christine right here. Boy, he says, so he come here. And I'm thinking, God, I hope he don't spit on me, man. I mean, you know, sometimes people preach a spit fly, you know, and he's scratching his hand like that. Now, you know, when you see people after a while, you start itching yourself. You know, it's psychological. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like you see somebody yawn, you yawn. Something happens. So he prays that, boom, that person fall out. And they speaking in tongues. I don't know what it was, but it sounded like a celluloid switch broke on a car. Wee. I said, that must be a alien tongue or something like that. I didn't know. I am not kidding you. Here come Christine. I thought, oh, Jesus. Now, I know Christine, Kathy's sister. Let's see what happened. Boom, she spoke in tongues. Like this. I said, what's one of them Chinese one there? What kind I'm going to get? Boom, she goes out. I do this. I ain't falling down like Kathy. I back my thing up. But I had this attitude. Come on. I'm going to put someone stole my Honda on you real quick. And he goes, praise God. Praise God. He said, are you ready to receive the Holy Ghost? He was looking there. He's like, yeah, I'm here. He going, are you ready to receive the Holy Ghost? I said, he's seeing two of us. I'll never forget that long. I believe Brother Wallace is in heaven. He's a wonderful man. I supported his ministry. I mean, he was a blessing. Are you ready to receive the Holy Ghost? I said, I'm going to receive something in a minute. But in my mind, this is a waste of time. But not him. He's redeeming the time. He knows this is a precious commodity. He sees in me that I want to receive. I'm just frustrated. Are you ready? I said, yeah. And I was practicing. Someone stole my Honda. Someone stole my Honda. I'm watching it. And he puts his hand out over here. So I just stuck my head over. Time to think. I heard somebody speaking a language. Now, a true Cajun, if you understand, they use the word, they say, some are gone. Some of them are gone. I heard that and I thought, some of them are gone. I'm speaking in tongues to myself. Some of them are gone. I heard, and I wanted to listen. It was my spirit. I could hear my spirit. And he went on to the next part. I thought, well, look here. I didn't fall. But I leaned over like this. I was filled. And then he come back across. He said, now you will have a hard time to pray in English from now on. And that was the truth. So I got up morning for my daily devotional. And I said, Lord, good Lord, gee. Then I began to listen to different types of tongues. I used to like Brother Hagin's tongues. I said, that's Navajo. Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. I mean, I've always been trying to figure things. Now, we had one person in our church sound like the starter was working. Shing, ding, 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 ding. It wasn't working. Shing, ding, 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 ding. Remember that person? Shing, ding, ding, ding. I said, I don't know what that language is, but battery running down. Now, you see, the natural man received, I'm still trying to figure out how that happened. Until today, ladies and gentlemen, because that prophet of God redeemed the time and did not waste time with me. Think about that. I can't hardly pray in English without praying and going into the Holy Ghost. I did that the other day at a restaurant. I was just praying, oh, get Jesus, I'll go show my money. Because the person was waiting. You know? So I finished. They said, what country are you from? I said, heaven. They go, well, that's true. I'm a new species. Only the power of the gospel. Write it down. Only the power of the gospel can save the world from moral ruin. So when I go up to a Christian that's having problems with drugs. You know, I'm a Christian, but I still smoke that dope. You know, the Lord give us every herb. Oh, it's amazing how people get into the herbs. I said, you're looking for an herb? Eat some paprika. No. See, you're making the excuse for failure. Now, you're going to have to train your body. That's not an easy thing. I'll tell you one more story. I drank a fifth of whiskey a day before I was born again. I drank a lot. I was a very heavy drinker. I enjoyed drinking. There was not anything I just didn't like. You know, I use them like hors d'oeuvres. An hors d'oeuvre to me was a tequila margarita with the salt. But it would always go back to scotch and water toward the end. That's what I was pumping, you know, or bourbon or whatever. So I just drank a lot. And Brother Rafer taught me how to bind the devil. I have one thing I can say. He's in heaven today, too. He said, the devil messes with you, you bind him. Which means he can't do nothing if he's bound. And what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. You understand that? He taught me that. So I would have times of binding in my life. Well, I went, Frieda Lindsay, who's now in heaven also, called me and asked me if I would come for Christ for the Nation. This is years ago. Would you come and preach to us? Sure. Now, I was instantly, completely delivered when I was born again. I went from a fifth of whiskey a day. That's just during the day. That's not counting the drinks at night. I should have had cirrhosis of the liver, all kinds of stuff, according to doctors. I mean, to nothing, to zero. Because the purity of the gospel went as far as the pollution of sin. So I was free. Completely free. But that doesn't mean your body doesn't remember things. So this gentleman picked me up at Love Field. I was going to preach at Christ for the Nation. I was really excited by meeting Frieda Lindsay in person. She was a wonderful, sweet lady. Well, I think it's I-35. Well, you come off of, is it Lemon or Mockingbird Lane? That's it, Mockingbird Lane. And you get on an interstate going back. You turn left, like you're going out towards South Dallas. There used to be a Pearl Beer sign out there with water rushing out of it. Anybody remember that? That was one of the, did you remember that? Yeah, it's still there? I ain't going. Now, this guy was enamored by me, this little driver that picked me up. He's a student. Oh, Brother Jess, I tell you, I just love your ministry. You've been such a blessing to me. I said, well, thank you, young man. Oh, I'll tell you what, you know, whatever you need, I'm assigned to you. Whatever you need, whatever you want. He said, I'll do whatever. I said, well, thank you. It's fine. I said, let's just get to the, to Christ for the Nations. But thank you. I appreciate that. So we drive it. Now, I ain't seen that sign. I'm talking something that happened in 79, 80. I'm driving. Now, I hadn't drank anything. I've been born again on Labor Day weekend, 1974. Watch this. Power of the gospel changed my morality in me. We're driving around the interstate out there. And I happened to turn and look, and I saw that sign with that water gushing on. And I went. And my body said, remember. Remember. I could taste that in my mouth. Going to preach a meeting. Now here's this little man. He's just, and without even the second thought, I went, I bind you in Jesus' name. He slammed the brakes. On the interstate, like the guy was killed. Pulls over. He said, what did I do? I said, I'm not binding you. I'm binding that sign in the name of Jesus. I said, I used to drink a lot. And all of a sudden, the flavor or the taste of it went out of my mouth. I said, come on. He said, I can't. You bound me. Then I heard about Kenneth Hagin's ministry. Loose him and let him go. I had to loose him. I mean, the kid was like this. And I laughed about it going. I thought, this is powerful. These are powerful things that work. So, you get a taste of sin in your mouth. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I know a lot of people saying, hey, you can just do this, you can just do that. I was asked on Daystar one time, what do you think about wine and drinking, you know? I said, well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I don't look for scriptures in the Bible to appease my flesh. I look for scriptures in the Bible to crucify my flesh. Now, you can do what you want with that. But I know if I touch a bottle of booze, and it's not a naked confession, I mean, that's a rope. With a noose on the end of it, I'll hang myself. I don't do that. And I don't have to look like the world. I'm not looking like, I don't want to look like the world. I don't care what people say. Well, you're just old-fashioned. No, I ain't old-fashioned. I'm biblical. I'm not old-fashioned. I'm biblical. You understand? And you better go read some of these things before you start trying to find something you can do. There's so many things you can do. So many, many things. You see what I'm saying? Because only the power of the gospel can save the world from moral ruin. Only. And I was set free. Still am free. I can get around. I could go to a Jack Daniels factory. And I bought a lot of black label and a lot of green label. Johnny Walker Red and Johnny Walker Black. I knew all that stuff. But brother, I could walk into distilleries today. No more. Because you see, now there's no longer any more temptation. Because you see, it just wasn't put away. It was destroyed in my life. Completely destroyed. How did you destroy it? I bound it so much it died. It committed suicide. I bound it so hard, you ain't never getting out of here. Then I just might as well die. And it did. And you know how many times the devil's tried to slip booze to me? People, you ask for something to drink and they bring you something. I don't know how many times. Walnut Hill Lane at a Chili's one time. Somebody gave me a scotch and water. All I wanted was water. And you know, if you go all over the world, water look different. Water, some Monroe, Louisiana. It's brown. Anybody from Monroe? Am I telling the truth? Have water? You can't swallow it. It's so slippery, it slipped down your throat. Anybody ever been to Monroe? Monroe, Louisiana? They say, yeah, but it's an artesian spring. Look like a polluted river to me is what it does. It's weird. It's strange. I'm not being critical. I'm just, I bring my own water when I go to Monroe. You take a shower, you can't get the soap off you. It just keeps bubbling up. It says very soft. I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you one thing. A bottle of shampoo will last 400 years here. Monroe, Louisiana. So, and brother, I said, oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. If I can just get him to taste it. Well, he tried that for a few years. He don't even try it no more. Because greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. See, I've redeemed the time on that. I said, no things I did in the past will ever bind me ever again. I will bind them, and I'll bind them so tight that they'll commit suicide. They will not show up in my life. It becomes what I call non-existent. So time, our most precious commodity. So yesterday was the priceless of time. Today was the waste of time. Tomorrow, I'm going to deal with Thursday, I'm going to deal with the urgency of time. Let me give you a point on that. Because I'm going to do something different on the Wednesday night that I preach. When we fail to do our obligation to time, we contract debt and we fall behind. The urgency of time. When we fail to do our obligation to time, we contract debt and fall behind. See, debt is not a thing. It's the past. It's the past for me. I will never, ever. I've been debt free since 1982. That will never, ever happen again. You know, you do what you want to do. That will never, ever it doesn't exist. I don't know my credit rating. I have no idea because I'll never need it. I told the government, you can have my Social Security. Do what you want with it. Somebody might need it. I ain't gonna never use it. Why? Because I live by my seed. I live by my giving. Now, you may say that's wrong. Nothing wrong with collecting Social Security. I have paid it since I'm 11 years old. But I got to thinking that some people need some help. So take it. Because I'm never going to use it. And I certainly can't live on it. Not me and Kathy. Social Security go real fast in the mall. Social Security don't go past one store. One purse. But I mean, it's okay to draw Social Security. Don't misunderstand me. You know, I mean, I don't have no problem with that. And people say, well, yeah, it's just a waste. No, give it to somebody who really needs it. Because And I don't let nobody tell me about my retirement. That's why I've never lost money. I've never lost. During the recession, nothing. Even Chase Bank told me that. I'm the only, that's what they told me. No, you're the only one of our clients that didn't lose money in 08. I didn't lose a dime. I invested in this. I didn't lose a dime. I'm proud of that. Why? Because I went before the Lord and said, now, what do you want me to do with this? Where do I place this? How do I manage this? Because if I get to thinking like this, it's going to take away from my calling. Because I love finance. One time Dan brought me to the commodities exchange, me and Jerry. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the longest I've ever lived in my life. I don't think they do that anymore in the pits. Now, do they do it by computer? Or they still do it? I mean, Dan, and it was one of the most amazing things to hear people scream about money. Screaming. Just screaming. Taking Maalox at the same time. Just screaming. It's just all frustrating. And I thought, God, you can make a lot of money if you want to do that. But you'll probably die of stress before you can spend it. I said, no. I will make money work for me. Right now, money is working for Jesse the Planet right now. I don't give it any days off. I said, God, you got to show me what to do. And he's never wasted time on that. Do this, tell the Chase Bank, do this. Oh, you don't want to do that. I just smile at him. Whose money does this belong to? Yours. Do this. You're going to lose, Reverend. Do this. And then they come and go, how? How did you know to do that? I said, the Lord spoke to me. I'm not embarrassed to say that. Now they're saying this. When the Lord speaks to you, would you call us? I am serious. I take my own personal financial affairs and I bring them before God Almighty. Because you see, I got to leave an inheritance for my children's children. I believe that like I believe John 3:16. And I don't waste any time on that. Did you enjoy it this morning? Yeah. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Ooh, glory. Yeah.